Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
We're thrilled to be joined by a creative and political activist who has gone viral a number of times, including creating the video in which Ellen DeGeneres' non-apology monologue about being friends with George W. Bush was juxtaposed with footage of his war crimes. And Ellen was not thrilled, tried to get it taken down, among many other things. That's just the one that you might know him from. Please welcome the brilliant and talented Rafael Shmunov.
Raf in the building.
Raf. I'm still recovering a little bit from, I think you shouted something in German to this Jewish person.
Yeah, I shouted away from the mic, though, so I was being sensitive.
You did muffle it, but my ancestors put their hands on my shoulders in that moment.
Steady. What about my Howard Dean scream? Did that take you back?
That one is just always reminds me of how little it took to sink someone in the past. How nothing can sink anyone anymore.
I know. That's why I love that clip. It's like the dude literally is just like saying he was so stoked on the idea of being the president. They're like, yikes. He's unhinged.
Have we gotten the deep dive, like journalistic deep dive documentary about the Dean scream? Because I think it's both a testament to how little it could take to sink someone and also how little it can take to sink someone when the mainstream media is cooperating and don't like their policies.
There has to be one out there. And the Dean scream is the exact name that it should be.
Dude. Right. Exactly. You know, some people know it as the "I have a scream."
It's just good memeing.
This is bullshit, man. What's up? It's on the Wikipedia page.
It's reminding me of wrestling, like WWF, WWE.
Oh my god!
I know the documentary about where they look at the audio and they say that he actually didn't scream that loud and that might have been an episode of This American Life or something that I'm remembering, but I want to see the one about the just general agreement behind closed doors by the mainstream media to be like, let's kill him with this. Should we kill him with this? Yeah, let's get rid of this. Because he anticipated so many things about modern politics and moving towards progressive ideals and also online fundraising. But I'm sure there
that
are
Jack, but that
imperfect.
Scream, dude, what a nerd, huh?
It was when the mainstream media was an internet, an approximation of what the internet would become, and also just bullies in a lunchroom, essentially.
They keep doing it, and they keep blaming. Now they say it's Twitter, the Twitter mob that does it, but they did it with Dukakis, where he had this helmet on and he was in a tank, and he's a man of, you know, normal stature or smaller stature, and they use that to ridicule him. And then,
well, then they did it
on Kerry.
Yeah, Kerry was, so they killed Dean with the scream to make room for John Kerry, who they then killed with the flip flop. But John Kerry did it to himself in a lot of ways. Maybe they made room for Dean or made room for Kerry because they knew, oh, we are going to rinse this fool.
And they also have a picture of him in like all this PPE going through a tube, like an HVAC tube.
Yeah.
That circulated. It was just wild. But yeah, he did a lot to himself.
Yeah. And now they can't do shit about Trump, unfortunately. Probably, yeah, right. Those two are probably related. Them just doing shit at a whim based on who they thought had the best odds in the horse race for the Democratic nomination, and people losing faith in their opinion of things might be related. What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are or what you're up to?
Well, in my search history right now, I think it's foolishness. I've been arguing with my friends that Eeyore is black from Winnie the Pooh, and so that's what I'm on right now. On which cartoon characters are actually black.
Wait, I liked it. Wait, okay, now that I'm thinking about this, does he live in the forest with them?
No, he does not live in the 100-acre woods. I'm glad you asked. He lives on the outskirts.
Okay, go
by
on.
By himself.
Go on.
Yes. I don't know if you've noticed. If you just look at the sheer infrastructure of Eeyore's little Snoopy house versus everybody's full home estate, they got land, right? Everybody else lives in 100-acre woods. They don't even see Eeyore till the end of the episode. They spend all day frolicking amongst the 100-acre woods. And after they're done doing everything they're doing, eating, potty, and going by rabbit, then they're like, "Who are you? Why so sad? What's your problem?"
Yeah. He's like, I just got off my shift on the sanitation department. What the fuck are you talking about?
Listen, ERB calling
What's
him out.
They be gaslighting
him all day. They're like, he's depressed, but no one asks why. Nobody asks why.
They're like, Eeyore, you get really angry really easy.
Listen, I knew what was up as a child. Me and my grandma, peeped immediately Eeyore was black. I remember they came to him at the end of the episode. Be like, hold on. You know, it's the adventures of Winnie the Pooh when everybody else do adventures, but not Eeyore.
Yeah.
Immediately. White flight. That's why everybody lives in 100-acre woods and he lives there.
Where does Christopher Robin live?
Right. In the burbs with them. You notice that?
Right.
Right. Oh, and he's like, yo, this is my backyard.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. White Christopher Robin and all the rest of them live in the same community.
Hmm.
Absolutely. There's that new horror movie, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and
Where
Eeyore's
Dead First.
Eeyore's Dead already at the start.
Come on and, over to my side.
And they apparently they like the implied backstory is that Winnie the Pooh and Piglet ate him. Is that did I make that up?
They murked him in some way. All I know is
they're like, sorry, friend.
Horror movie, black person dies first. Winnie the Pooh horror movie starts out with Eeyore already gone.
Right.
Rest in peace, I'm just saying.
Or it's like the magical donkey man, Eeyore. They're like, tell us of your ways, magical man. Like, wait,
listen,
hold on.
They got my mans out of there because he's one of us. He's a brother.
Okay. All right. Shout out, Eeyore.
What is something you guys think is overrated?
Google. This is my, and I'm not just saying this because I didn't get the answer about Deb Chubb, but in general, and you know, I think this has been reported on, Google is just less and less usable. Like it just does not show you the information you're looking for in the way that it used to, because it's algorithmically trying to show you some other shit. And it's so frustrating to me.
Have you tried DuckDuckGo.
That's what I've been using lately. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't like track you. And
DuckDuckGo also does not have answers about DevChup, but it is less overrated than Google.
Yeah. I would ask Jeeves, honestly. Jeeves mm-hmm. might know.
Mm-hmm. What happened to him? Here's the thing about Ask Jeeves that I think I have probably bored Lisa with this already. But so I have been reading a bunch of the P.G. Wodehouse books. P.G. Wodehouse, who was the creator of Jeeves, the butler.
Uh-huh.
And like there are humorous old-timey books from like, you know, the 20s about this dumb rich guy and his butler. And every one of those stories is about him asking Jeeves for help and Jeeves going in a very circuitous sort of counterintuitive method to get it. And it all backfires. And I don't understand why we're presenting that character as a reliable right. problem solver.
It's like naming your glasses after Mr. Magoo.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Oh, so he's like the original like Nathan Fielder.
Like Nathan, like, kind of, yeah.
It's like, okay, the plan, make this frozen yogurt taste like shit or whatever. That yeah.
Well, he's just trying to ignore his rich boss and his rich boss's dumb ideas.
Oh, okay.
He's a working class hero.
Kind of, yeah.
A little, yeah, push pull.
But he's weirdly, I mean, I recommend reading the books. They're really funny. But it always strikes me as odd that we're asking Jeeves to get us something directly.
Right.
What are the books called? Like, what's the most famous Wodehouse?
Oh, my book? Gosh. I don't know what the most famous one. He wrote like hundreds of them.
Okay.
I can try to. I'm sorry. This is so boring. I'm looking in my.
Jeeves in the Offing is one.
Yeah, that's a good one. All
right
of the
ho,
Blandings.
Jeeves.
Right ho, Jeeves, on, is Jeeves. Is a really good one.
Wow.
Right ho, Jeeves.
Right ho.
Right ho, Jeeves. Ring for Jeeves is pretty good. It's really hard to tell them apart because there's just so many of them. And
you just make up some titles. Jeeves special day.
Right. Yeah.
Big outing for Jeeves.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. An evening with Jeeves.
Yeah, yeah.
What's
yeah.
something, Emily, that you've noticed? You're like, I used to be able to find this on Google, and now you're like, what the fuck happened?
That's I should have come prepared with something like that.
I'm sorry to
aside
be
from,
curious about
aside
what you
from
say.
The fact that like looking up Deb Chubb bird doesn't reveal anything about her talking about birds not being real.
What are you good for?
Yeah. Sometimes it'll just be something where you're like, okay, what's the biggest country by population? And it'll just like tell you the biggest country by area right away, where it like it just has started ignoring search terms, I feel like. That's something that is frustrating to me.
Gotcha.
It's like, I think you mean by area, right?
Yeah, but it won't even say by area. It'll just like put up a picture of what they think the answer is without the information that disqualifies it. I think one of the most frustrating things is like, you'll look up something like, can my dog eat blah, blah, blah? And mm-hmm. it'll be like 10 foods your dog should not eat. And the food that you listed is under the actually it's okay section. But then it tells you that they can't eat it. And so I just am constantly thinking I've poisoned my dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Google's bad. Just in general, evil.
Very evil.
I feel like DuckDuckGo is still finding its sea legs, but it's definitely less intrusive and less likely to track you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Oh, yes. So is doing just like the whack thing when you're visiting somewhere. I have been in New York about like, I don't know, 10 hours now. No, 14 mm-hmm. hours now. No, 10 hours now. and all I've done is like, I just went and got a like egg and cheese on a roll and like cool. walked around and got a slice of just cheese pizza and ate it. Just like a real doofus tourist. And I know right. it's like not cool or like interesting, but I'm like, I don't care. I guess it helps that I used to live here. So I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Right. Well, you know what you want too. I don't think that's cool. I mean, those things are good and they're good in New York. So
yeah.
I don't think it's like stupid. It's like it'd be dumb if you went to Sbarro, right? And did that whole dumb bit of a thing that I see too many people do and they think it's funny. And they're like, I went to Sbarro in New York. But like that shit is dumb. But get your bagel, get your fucking, you know.
I don't care. Yeah. I just like doing the thing. I like when I go on vacation or I guess this is technically work, but kind of vacation, but definitely more vacation.
For tax reasons, work.
Honestly, kind of.
The IRS loves our show, by the way, just be careful.
Shout out to the 80,000 new agents.
Yeah.
I just like, anytime I visit somewhere, I just like acting like what I would do if I just had a pain in the ass, but not terribly taxing job in that city.
Right.
So just like go eat at the boringest place and like, oh, I got out of four and it's going to go to happy hour somewhere close to the hotel or wherever I'm staying. Like, yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
I like living as if I have given up, but in a different city.
Right. Well, what is the version? What's the antithesis of what you're talking about look like?
I think this is partially like the people I know in Los Angeles, but it's like we made reservations at the cool place every night, and we're doing this, and like, oh, there's a party here, and like, oh, my friend from this is doing this.
Right.
And I'm just like, I guess I will. And do not get me wrong, I'm here for another 2 days. If anyone's got anything going on, hit me up. But I'm just like, I don't know. I never care enough to do it myself. I just like doing the boring thing, but in a different place.
Right, for sure. And you don't feel the sense. I think those people really get the FOMO when you're like, I can't believe it. I was in New York for 36 hours and I didn't go to this top 7 restaurants.
Yeah, like, exactly.
How?
Part of it is like having lived maybe in New York, it's just like, especially this cruel ass city, like the top 7 restaurant changes every month. So like, what are you experiencing? Like,
yeah.
It's all ephemeral.
Yeah. And is that more interchangeable with like LA's top 7 restaurants than would be like just a local bar and an egg and cheese on a roll, you know?
Yeah. That's what I prefer. Yeah. I like the LA version. It's
more
is just
local
like,
flavor.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah. Yeah. Just like doing the thing that actually I would do as opposed to like, maybe that's it. If I lived, like I live in LA and I'm never like, oh, what I gotta do is make sure to hit up blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But that's just a personality thing because there are plenty of people who are. And you know what? Good for them.
Good for them.
I like to go down to the docks and get into a fist fight.
Yeah.
You know? At whatever place I am. Just see,
Short elbows. Short elbows is the key in a dock
exactly.
fight.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. I like to go just around Brooklyn and yell at people for playing their ethnic music too loud. Like a true Brooklynite.
Like a true New Yorker.
Like a true New Yorker. That is so loud. I'm sorry. That is so loud. What is going on?
Gentrified even harder than the last time I was here. It is.
Man, I was there in May and I'm not joking. I saw a woman chastising a dude for playing like Dembow, like out of his fucking car.
Wow.
Like, and she was like, I have a baby in a stroller. It's like, you're pushing your stroller towards this fucking parked car.
Right.
Also, fuck your baby, lady. Come on.
Also, your baby could use some
rule
flavor.
Number one.
Listen to some good music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at a bar yesterday where every white person or every white guy was dressed like Harry Potter and every not white guy was dressed like Mero. And I was like, this is gentrification at its finest.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
It was really like, oh, the line. Everyone seemed to be getting along, but, you know, what do I know? I'm an outsider.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and school just got a lot easier.
Holy shit.
Would be
too easy. Look, so there's a new AI that helps write essays. And I just want to say, look, when I were a boy, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to not do a lot of schoolwork so I could just be outside having fun and fucking around. Mm-hmm. So that would manifest into me being like, what's this test? Oh, that teacher's old. I know how to fucking cheat on those tests. I'll buy all the fucking old tests from the people two classes above me who saved everything. And it was like, this is like a commodity at my high school. They're like, yo, you got his tests? And somebody would have them each year. And you could be like, I'm sorry, homie, this is 200 right here. If this is this is it. This is the whole year. You don't have to do shit. So anyway, back then it was like old Scantrons, or like you could see an old quiz to get a leg up, like as a studying guide. But now, you know, things were very lo-fi back then. But now, because of all of this fucking technology, man, we are now looking at students being able to write whole fucking essays by by feeding this AI just by giving it a sentence or two. And these programs allow students to create entirely new fucking essays that can't, like, traditionally, you could be like, you'd feed it through a plagiarism detection service or whatever software. And it would try and find some similarities and be like, this is this other thing that's on the internet. With this, because it's wholly new work, it completely can sidestep a lot of those things that are in the like plagiarism detection software. And it's pretty sophisticated.
It's taking your style, like your writing style, and the information you've provided. Is it using? Is it like going out and researching?
Jack, I even did a thing where I put in, you know how you see the doc, you know my writing style. Like,
right.
It's very conversational. I all caps shit out of nowhere for like emphasis, just like in my own head. And I put that in there and it kind of gave me back like a flippant story about Donald Trump and his legal team, like not giving a fuck about the legal process. It wasn't like it didn't have like swag, but right. You could tell it was trying to do something. So in that sense, I'm like, OK, if you're a very creative writer, your shit is still safe. But I just want to show you. So there is this article in Jacobin about how Trader Joe's is also starting to union bust right now, because they are fucking, you know, they're looking at Starbucks and they're like, all right, homies, we know the play right here. It's to illegally bust these fucking unions. So this is the first two sentences from this Jacobin article. Quote,
Trader Joe's workers in Minneapolis won their union in a landslide vote August 12th, making theirs the second store to go with the new independent Trader Joe's United. The win raises the question of whether the grocer, with its 530 locations and progressive image, could be the next Starbucks. So I just put that into the fucking machine. It gave me back two more paragraphs, but I'm just going to read you the first paragraph and a half. So this is how it wants to continue what we just fed it. And that's no small feat. Last year, Starbucks baristas notched a huge victory when the coffee chain agreed to pay higher wages and give workers a say over the chain's social media policies. But unlike Starbucks, which is a global chain with thousands of locations, Trader Joe's only has about 15% of the grocery market, reports the Los Angeles Times. Standalone, non-unionized shops are actually more common with the grocer, which has opened about 50 shops in cities over the last year. That's fucking AI that just kept going with that. And granted,
it's also like analysis.
Yeah. Right.
That stuff's all true. They aren't just making that up. They're like pulling that off the internet.
It will pull from other articles, and it will even tell you where it pulled from.
Wow.
You can alter shit too, right? Like you can dumb your shit down. Right. So let's say, you know, obviously, an article like that is probably not for Mrs. Schultz's sixth grade English class. But like, if you wanted to, you could put in a very, very simple, like dry explanation of the themes in the Disney film Toy Story, and it will come back to you with about the same level of like rhetorical style.
School is over.
I don't know. I think you could turn that Jacobin thing into Miss Schultz, and she'd just be like, "Whoa, damn, whoa. Okay, all right, I'm gonna get comrade. In touch with Columbia's journalism school."
I was passing love letters and being a class clown, so I'm like thinking now, like, how would AI would have helped me?
Right.
Yeah. So probably like I'll like pass a note to someone and she'd be like, she opens it up and reads it and says like, "Wherefore art thou, Jessica Rodriguez? What light from your school desk breaks?"
Here, Raph, right now, give me like two sentences from a Raph in sixth grade love letter and we'll let this shit continue.
Let it cook.
Dear what? What's her name? Jessica, you said?
Oh man, Jessica Rodriguez. My God, I still
you're
think
Jessica.
About
her. Are we allowed? Say? I have a crush on you.
Are we allowed? Yeah, like my like 15-year-old self allowed to think about 15-year-old.
We'll just okay. We'll pretend. We'll
just say
the writer's
Jessica.
Room now.
Not,
dear
not
Jessica,
last name.
I have
oh,
a crush
like 17,
on you.
17,000 Jessica Rodriguez.
Okay.
I have a crush on you. You are the most beautiful student at school.
She was funny too. She was so funny.
And you are so funny. I'm just going to give it that. Dear Jessica, I have a crush on you. You're the most beautiful student at school and you are so funny. It's going to continue with, drum roll please. You cheer me up when I am sad. I hope you can like me. Sean showed the card to my mother and she said, okay, now it's getting wild.
Whoa. Got real aggressive. It started writing like details into your life.
Oh, so now it's doing a story. It said, so you said, dear Jessica, I have a crush on you. You're so funny. Then it said, would you ever go out with me?
Whoa.
Susie's heart starts beating faster. She thinks for a moment and then writes, dear Mark, thanks for the nice poem. You're a sweet task.
You know, like so eventually flattered. They're going to monetize this and there'll be like an ad in it. Like, Jessica, right. You may also be in need of a 20% discount.
Yeah, right.
Just shifted to fiction. But okay. So on one hand, it might seem like that is the AI breaking down. On the other hand, it could be a brilliant hedge where that just comes up in the middle of the thing. And so if Jessica is like, nah. You're like, no, I was just showing you a short story I wrote. Why are you acting like I meant this? That's kind of...
AI is the ultimate wingman.
Yeah. Like four-dimensional chess.
So this is kind of like brought up a whole debate with educators because they're like, what the fuck are we supposed to do? Like, do we shift policies now to say like, using AI is against the fucking ethos of this school. Fuck around with it. And if we find out, you will find out as well. But then they're like, we also don't want to put it in students' heads that this is a normal shit that they can start using. Then other people are like, well, what are the limits, right? Because people use spell check or other like sort of like smart tools that help with people's writing and dictation.
There's already AI
like
that detects plagiarism. So this is just the latest salvo in the arms war between students and teachers.
The old school way was you feed your shit to the plagiarism thing, and then you swag up every sentence. So now it's not going to hit anymore on that. That was like, I think, the way to grind it out using this kind of shit back in the day. But now we're looking at just, here's three topics. I need, you know, it's about these. If you like, if the first paragraph is succinct enough, it can kind of know where you're headed.
But maybe this is the new face of education, because you have the article generated, but then you have to go and fact check the article that was generated for you. So you go and read the entire LA Times article to make sure that it's giving an accurate. So it's just basically generating research work for you without doing the writing.
The newest kind of curriculum and education through like Common Core, because I have a kid. And it is to not just go and find facts and regurgitate them, but to actually be a journalist and get multiple sources around places and actually report back on what society was thinking at that moment, what were the opposing viewpoints. So I could see a creative kind of curriculum that can kind of pull this in, but it's still pretty frightening.
Right. And that's the other thing educators are asking themselves. It's like, you know, some people are like, well, maybe the way we're educating kids needs to change if it's as simple as feeding an AI. And we need to think a little bit more with our brains here to find new ways to begin to say, okay, this assignment means you have actually understood the curriculum.
Like how to operate in a new world, right? That's what we're trying to educate them for. So
they better know how to plagiarize with AI.
Right? Like, you're a step behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the new Common Core shit is really messing me up. I'm in the midst of a massive cover-up with my six-year-old is going through files, trying to prove that Santa Claus doesn't exist, and it's bad.
Yeah, they call it, the right calls it Common Core, which is really funny. What do you mean everyone in the country has to learn the same thing?
I'm not an educator, so there's no way I could have a constructive idea to how they navigate this. But it does feel like, yeah, I guess if it is that easy to just merely say, okay, you want me to write something? Watch this. Then what is that next step? I know plenty of educators listen to the show. Please let me know. Are y'all worried?
Or right.
Is everything changing so rapidly? You're like, that's the least of their problems right now.
Yeah. Like, dude, if they use this... I'm just trying to picture a way to take this into account and still have them learn, you know, because that is if it's doing a good job of sourcing the articles, that is a way of finding articles, you know, that are relevant to the subject that you're talking about.
Right.
That is just easier. Right. So but you do have to fact check them, I guess. But
there's this other social thing that's going to occur, I imagine, because what's the algorithm? What is it doing? How is it weighing what it's finding? If just something is repeated enough on large accounts, does that make it true?
Sure.
You know, and now it's just regurgitating things just because, you know, very powerful like sites or entities kind of repeated the same thing. I know, like Amazon, I work opposing Amazon. They know that local journalists are really like on a shoestring budget and they don't have time. So they send them canned reports and canned footage, and it makes it, and then they report it out like, it's almost like you spoke yesterday about propaganda. It's also like this corporaganda where they just make it look like they were inside this Amazon facility and everyone loves working there and everyone's fine, when really they just regurgitated something written for them and, you know, played a video that was given to them.
Right, because it's a cheap way to generate what appears to be objective reporting. So it's basically doing the exact same thing.
This is going to have impact that way, I think. It's going to start, the echo chamber is going to be on steroids.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
I was just tinkering with the toys in this AI, because you could have it do different styles. You're like, yo, I want something fantastical, upbeat, authoritative, conflictive, sensual, romantic.
Oh,
I switched your line to romantic and said, "Dear Jessica, I have a crush on you. You're the most beautiful student at school and you are so funny. I don't know if you feel the same way about me, but I just wanted to let you know how I feel. I hope you have a great day. Sincerely, your secret admirer." Get the fuck out of here.
Nailed it. I mean, they nailed
it. Fucking killed it.
Like, that is so good.
They provided emotional transparency, emotional maturity to
like, I mean, right.
And then they were like, his Netflix quay matches 76% yours. Please subscribe for 20%.
Right. So, yes. Oh, man. Just shows you. Rocky road ahead. Can you imagine? Because then I also see like a version two where like, you know, like men are so fucking bad at expressing themselves. They start relying on AI and shit just to fucking stop talking.
Right. Yeah.
They're like hungry.
We're obsolete. That just proves we're obsolete. Just like the curriculum is obsolete.
Yeah. And
this episode is brought to you by a recurring segment brought to you by Rocky Road Ice Cream from Haagen-Dazs. It's the Rocky Road evidence of a Rocky Road ahead. And what goes better with Rocky Road than some delicious Rocky Road ice cream? Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they all and they use 100% organic dairy cream. So, you know, shout out them. Shout out the sponsors for this week's Rocky Road.
this week's segment, this week's Rocky Road is brought to you by, I can only hear it in Bill Simmons' voice every time there's like a branded segment. Anyways, Republicans, not quite sure to campaign. I think they have figured out what not to campaign on.
Yeah.
But they don't have anything to really replace it.
Speaking of AI.
Yeah.
If you fed all the GOP talking points from 2009, fuck it, even before. From the 90s to today, and you asked it to create a sentence, it would say, Obamacare is bad. Healthcare should be replaced with guns. Abortion is the worst thing to ever happen.
Right.
And that's all they're consistent with. That's literally, like, quite simply, the few things they've been really consistent on. And these, again, these aren't the words of a party that are interested in trying to lead the country into some positive future, obviously, but we already knew that. But when you couple that with, like, the results in recent special elections, especially since the Dobbs decision, and you look that you have a group of people that are trying to figure out like a thing they can talk about that won't be spectacularly unpopular.
Right.
You know, so many of the Republicans now like that, you know, that are trying to make a red wave this November. We talked about another candidate who like completely sanitized his website. It's like, I've never heard of nothing about forced birth. Never known. Don't tell me about that. Don't go on the Wayback Machine either or the Internet Archive and see an old cached version of this website that says the opposite. But many of like the Kill Obamacare crowd have had to pivot to, well, I'm definitely into protections for pre-existing conditions. I mean, let me get that much straight at a minimum. And like the forced birth fanatics are also have not said a single thing out loud in public. And it's just odd, you know, well, look, ACA has become more and more popular over the years and simply trying to use like racist dog whistles like Obamacare, like are no longer connecting. Right. And we've yet to see anything resembling what a Republican healthcare policy would look like. But we don't have to guess. It would just be all privatized everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then it's like, I don't know. Did you ask Jeff Bezos if you deserve more hypodermic needles?
Yeah. Your physical brought to you by Amazon. And provided by Amazon.
Yeah, like in the middle of the eye test, you got to watch a fucking trailer for Lord of the Rings and shit. You're like, what the fuck? You're like, okay, who do you see? I don't know.
90% of people with bad vision love this movie.
But like a few consultants on that side, they've all said, we really got to steer the conversation back to gas prices and inflation. But the main issue for voters, as we've seen in like a lot of the just anyone ask around going into November, seems to be all about healthcare and abortion, a realm where they are just epically unfit to discuss with non-ghoul type people. So it's like, I mean, I get that the voter suppression shit is probably going to be on their side in certain instances, but it's just interesting to watch like them be like, fuck, man, we've been saying this shit for so long. Now most people are like, actually, I would like to have. Like, I would like to not go bankrupt because I have diabetes.
Right.
And they're like, shit. Okay, let's just shut the fuck up about it. Shut up.
Right.
And, you know, yeah. I guess allow the opponents to create the conversation.
The worst part of that is that the more Republicans do that, the more Democrats feel they don't have to do anything.
Exactly.
Right? So Biden, like, he campaigned on canceling, like, all of student debt.
He just gestures.
And then the average is, like, $33,000. And now, you know, now it's like, let me take that back. How about we wet your beak a little bit?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So, yeah. It's like, you guys might be desperate enough. I could get through to 2024 off this shit, too. I don't want to give y'all everything.
I went back to the boss and they couldn't really figure out that number.
Yeah,
right.
By the way, that eviction protection thing. Yeah, you know, let's get rid of that.
Right. It seems like everybody is waking up to the fact that they're in favor of leftist policies that are helpful to the vast majority of people. but they, again, there is an allergy to being at least self-consciously socialist, like being conscious that you that you support a leftist
this
policy.
Is how right-wingers actually get away with calling Biden and the centrist Wall Street Democrats left, because that erases the left. Because if the left was platformed in any way in this country, there would be a lot. It would we would resonate with a lot of people, because we would be talking about material needs that appeal to basically everybody.
People's ears would be smoking and their TVs would explode.
Well, actually, there is a we've mentioned before, there is a movement in the Democratic Party to offer an alternative option.
Let's not say that's a Democrat, whatever that is.
Yeah, well, I guess it's both parties coming together to offer a different option. That is the Andrew Yang.
The whatever party.
The whatever. The Democrats are too far left party.
So the last time I was here, I spoke about Yang when he was running for mayor of New York. And we were talking about how awful it would be to elect the AI president who was still modeling how to pick up a banana.
That's right. That's right.
How to buy a banana and what a bodega is.
Oh, man.
And when we criticized that, he immediately, like a few hours later, corrected just like an AI would, and went and actually found a real bodega and was like, I am now in a bodega.
Yeah.
It was like hilarious.
But nice try. I am in a bodega now.
Y'all have loose Newports or nah in here, my guy.
So
what the fuck? God. I asked for a loose Newport. Fuck.
Localized AI. My guy.
Just fed it into the AI.
Yeah.
It's so funny that keeps coming back and getting people, is just the inability to shop in grocery stores, to even like exist in a grocery store.
But it's just like this kind of clean slate that he wants to present. And like they're presenting this party, the Forward Party, as
the Forward Party. That's right. Sorry. It's not left. It's not right. It's forward.
It's forward.
What else do we have to explain?
Doesn't mean anything.
So what are the policies on the left that you're too critical of? Well, so the thing you have to understand is we're not left and we're not right. We're forward. That's actually the only time I've heard. That's the
only problem is every single person behind it is a right winger, either a Trump right winger or a neocon, like warmonger from the Iraq era, from the Bush era, from the Bloomberg era stuff, like all of them. 100%. There's one, Governor Christy Todd Whitman. She was infamous for stopping a black New Jerseyan on the street with police, with state troopers, so that she could get a photo op of herself frisking him.
Wow.
You know, like these are the type of the people who fought healthcare, fought rights, abortion rights, fought everything. And now they're like cosplaying as this thing in order to siphon off. And I've seen, like, I actually have this mixed kind of relationship with Yang supporters. A lot of them are new to politics, and he kind of makes sense to someone who's just like peeking in. It's like, logical. He's going to gonna
take
be
all the
organized.
Yeah, we had the same thing during the election. A lot of people were like, you actually need to give Yang more of a shot.
But when you do talk to them and you give them space, and you actually, they like logic and they like things portrayed that way. So when you do, this is the one group that I don't feel like most of them are driven by like some hidden agenda, like racism or far right ideology. I don't think many of them are. I think they're actually just low information and just getting in. And there's a great opportunity to really just be like, okay, that's how you want to talk. Let me bullet point this for you. And I've had a lot of success with that.
Right. It's so vague. Like, everything's so vague that I think it probably does act as like a Rorschach test for like someone who's newly engaging with politics, where you might come and be like, I don't know, both of the main parties seem dumb.
Yeah.
And this one, what's their like their the landing page? After years of working in parallel to unite Americans and strengthen our democracy, the Forward Party, the Renew America movement, and the Serve America movement are pleased to announce the formal merge of our three organizations. We are coming together from across the political spectrum to build a new and transformational American political party. Blah, blah, blah. Operating under one name, Forward. I mean, again, I think what this is, it's that the smart Republicans are like, bro, this brand is getting toxic, and you need to find a way to get some people that are going to not go full left, but give them something that sounds fucking flowery, but we'll give them fuck all in the end. But we need to message shit differently, because simply going out here and be like, gay people are bad, healthcare's fucked up, fuck poor people, they're like, that shit is not working. It's not 1970 anymore.
Well, yeah. And I'd be surprised if Yang, people who supported Yang in the last election are still about this shit. Like, this feels like a less of a thing where he's moving his people into this category of more where he moved in. And I'd be surprised if anybody follows him, if they are truly just motivated by the argument.
I don't see the same energy.
Yeah, no. It feels like a thing, a party that is purely motivated to get the New York Times to write pieces about it.
It's setting the New York Times up.
Because it's all based on mainstream media, both sides-ism, and the stuff that like doesn't actually exist to voters or really matter to voters. And it's there's just no support. Not only is there no support for their policies, there are no policies for their party. Like, they don't really have anything they're willing to say out loud, I guess.
A lot of policies of their, their founders. Another one is Barbara Comstock. She was the one that said, we should build a wall in front of Canada, too, and we should track immigrants and migrants like FedEx packages, her words.
Amazing.
Shit.
It goes real deep. The amount of Republican funding, the Trumpism. That guy who wrote that, all these anonymous figures that were in the White House, that became whistleblowers.
Right.
Only when, not when it mattered, but when they could sell a book. They waited to when they could sell a book. I'm sorry, but one of them is called Miles Taylor. Right?
He's anonymous.
And he's part of it too. It's just like, if it was a real movement, they wouldn't have merged with these other things.
They just knew the brand was fucked up. They just like, yo, we got to rebrand this shit, man.
Right.
And they're going to split the vote. They did that in New York just now. They got a Congress member, probably Daniel Goldman, this like billionaire heir to the Levi Strauss fortune. And they basically, he bought a congressional seat so far.
Right.
And that was based on splitting the vote, the progressive vote, and just, you know, pandering, pretending you're a Democrat.
Oh, so he actually used this forward party to get elected, or?
No, just like the same formula.
Okay,
like,
got it.
You know, well, we're the reasonable people in the middle.
Got it.
Know?
Yeah. I mean, that's been working since Clintonian triangulation, and I forget, there's this guy who ran for president against Trump and was kind of a centrist. Oh, Joe Biden. Joe Biden used that too.
That guy
doesn't actually support any progressive policies.
Saudi Arabia is a pariah state. Oh, come here, Mohammed. Oh, I love you, man. Would you want some more guns and shit? Oh, I got you, baby. I got you.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get.
Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. And, you know, as we were talking about before the break, like this kind of brings up the question of, you know, now we had, I think I've heard you talk about the fact that like the Black Lives Matter movement in 2020 could be considered like one of the largest like social civil rights movements. And now the main way we hear about it in the mainstream media is like these things being like, we don't got to defund the police. We got to fund the police. Yeah. And like NPR, like blaming it for straight up murder. So this like kind of raises the question, why is this particular lie so just deeply like so hard to shake that like violent armed police and human caging are the only way to deal with things? And, you know, it's structurally integral to our society. It's like a lie that is,
that's the answer.
You know, undergirds all of the white supremacy and everything.
And that's your answer. It's structurally undergirds. That's why something doesn't become the status quo, because a majority isn't invested in like defending and maintaining.
Yeah.
That's the why.
But one of the like how, I guess, questions of like how they got everybody to like kind of go along with it is you pointed out, and our super producer, Trisha Mukherjee, is joining us to talk about your argument in a piece for Teen Vogue about like Law and Order, the TV show, and just, you know, propaganda in general being like creating this standard narrative where the cops are the protagonist.
Yeah. I mean, it's an ever. So I guess I tried to look at it commonsensically, and I think I have the benefit of my family's Bahamian. They live in the Bahamas, so this isn't their society at all. But we watch the same things. We watch it. My mother so often responds to me, who is in the Bahamas. She don't vote here. She don't live here. She don't have no reason to be invested here, but she is, child. And my mommy and them is a heavy propaganda house. My mom and them, Law and Order, Snapped, all of it. My mommy is watching it all, and she loves it, okay? Her boy, Stabler and them, she'd be ready to fight me in the house over this stuff. And I recognize, you know, and I thought about it early on from jump is, one of the first things we teach people, you know, it's like, oh, this, you know, 911, we teach little children, you know, this is not, here's your parents' number, here's 911, you know, you play cops and robbers, cops are the good guys, robbers are bad, everything you watch has, you know, protagonist, antagonist, but antagonist is automatically treated as the villain, and in so many things, beyond just the amount, the sheer volume of shows that we have is just direct propaganda, like Law and Order, CSI, even like Lucifer, TV shows, like so many of them have this. But I thought about this even the other day, like cartoons you watch and you don't even realize it. Like I was a big Powerpuff Girls, like big into Powerpuff Girls, like love me some Powerpuff Girls. Okay. And I realized the other day and I'm like, why didn't I notice that these three little gals was agents of the states beating people out to the white meat the minute the mayor called them up? Like, you ain't never noticed that? Like the whole, right. That's literally what it is. The Powerpuff Girls, the mayor calls them up red button. Hey, we just heard something, fuck them up. Immediately, the minute they see him, there's a whole, this episode, they see Mojo Jojo in the food store. Mojo Jojo is trying to buy some groceries. They beat him and they beat his ass down. And everybody, right? Like, if you even think about it, Mojo Jojo, the whole townspeople, all the townspeople look like the Powerpuff Girls, apricot colored white people, just like Professor X, right? All of the villains Mojo Jojo green, Fuzzy Lumpkin pink, the Gangrene gang is green, the Boogeyman is blue, him is red. All the people of color are villain criminals that get their ass whooped 24/7. And you realize, right, like, eventually everything you watch is kind of treated like this. Like, this is who we've designated as good, and this is who we've designated as bad, and nothing in between really matters. It don't matter. You don't see no due process in the you know? And you watch, like, you know? But it really is like that. How much of things you watch, and it shows you, even when it shows you that the police are breaking the law, like, their rights are being violated, it's showing you how the police has to, because this bad guy, or they're constrained. I watched the Chippendale rescue movie the other day, and it was the same shit. Like, oh, the police were working with Chippendale to try to get Peter Pan and them, and the police are like, oh, we want to do something, but we can't, Chippendale, because you have these constitutional rights, yeah, and stuff. So Chippendale were like, shit, all these damn pesky rights.
Yes. Yeah, due process is treated as, like, it's never been good in a single movie. Yes. It's like, yeah, right, due process. Yes. Like, the only person who brings in up due process is, like, about to get their head smashed into their desk by Russell Crowe before he, like, goes out and catches the bad guy.
And, like, all jokes aside, like, that is something, like, we don't realize how much we're taught to perceive the world as ingrained and stuff. Like, even in Lucifer is the literal fucking devil. Like, he's Satan. He's literally Satan. And for Satan to be redeemed in the eyes of God and the world, he works with the LAPD.
Yes.
Like, I'm dead ass. That's the plot of the show. Like, that's the plot of the show. And you know who's the only person they matter-of-factly is saying is going to go to hell? The defense attorney. And in order for her to go to heaven, she had to quit the defense attorney and go become a DA. And then they kill her. She goes to heaven.
Because the defense attorney is just trying to get bad guys off the hook.
Yes.
And, like, it's all a world. Yeah.
Yes. And you realize when you watch TV and you think about it more, you see it in everything. That person, they're always the bad guy, or the poor character, or whoever it is. They're bad. They're this. It's like that. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's funny that you bring up the LAPD, right? Because, Trisha, you point out, like, the kind of LAPD kind of has a starting role in the beginnings of all this.
Yes.
Right, exactly. So, Laimi, I read your article. First of all, your work is amazing. It's so cool. But yeah, so I just started going a little bit deeper into this propaganda in TV shows around crime. And one interesting thing I found out was, of course, like, the media has always supported the police through the U.S., the history of the country. But in the 1950s, it was actually formalized because this actor, director, Jack Webb, he made this deal with the LAPD where if the LAPD would allow him to access police equipment and quickly approve permits and get off-duty officers as extras in his movies, he allowed the LAPD to read over his scripts and basically just veto anything that they didn't like. So, of course, they're not going to approve anything where the cops are portrayed as bad. And then this has just been the standard set in Hollywood and just set in TV and movie industry where the police is literally controlling what we see on the screen in a lot of ways.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You realize it so much more. I have a friend who was writing a script the other day, like, entertainment, and he had, like, just not even thinking about it because it's so, like, into shows. And when you think of how public defenders are depicted in all media and we're depicted as bums, right? Like, bums. Anytime you see a public defender in anything, like, they're dropping their files, they're disheveled. Like, and it's a way, it's how
they need foot cream.
And it's how the system, like, goes and blames. And it's so funny because that has so much, you know, a lot of how your relationship plays out with your clients has everything to do with what their initial even perception of you is. And if a public defender gets blamed, like, when you think the money is attributed is in these ways deliberately. A public defender is underfunded, but the prosecutor's office is not. But we're funded by the exact same entities. We're opposite across the aisle. We're doing the same level of workload, but it's deliberately set up where the public defenders are ill-equipped, right? And even within that system, like, public defenders get blamed for plea deals or presenting you with a plea, which is, you're obligated. You have to present whatever is the plea offer, but the plea offer is made by the prosecutors. The reason why you even have to tell them, oh, you should probably take a plea because this is what's likely to happen at trial because of the determinate sentencing done by legislators and what the judge is going to punish you. It's so many different ways. The system is actively doing all these different things, but how does our media spin it to people? Oh, if you could afford to have, it's these broke-ass, bum-ass public defenders causing you to go to jail. And again, it all, you know, relates back to poverty in general, because even in a world where we pretended the problem was the public defender, the problem is this public defender, that's still a reflection of the fact the majority of the people in the criminal system are poor you know, and they're being represented by public defenders as opposed to they can't afford paid representation. Not that it's true that public defenders are ill-equipped, but even if that was the case, and it's not like the court doesn't know. I think something people forget too, and I appreciate that people are optimistic or they have, I don't know, more faith in their actors, but the court knows everything else that you tell the rest of the society that shocks their conscience and gets them to see like, oh, the system is messed up. And they think, oh, we need to get that information. Like the people in power, the people doing it don't know. I'm assigned by the court. The person who sets the bail is the same person that just said, this person has no money. They can't afford a lawyer. And I'm also going to set a mad money on them for bail because you're gonna now you're going to go to jail for something you haven't been convicted. They know it's deliberately done that way. And I went to a prosecutor mill for a law school. I was like the only public defender in my class. Everybody else was a prosecutor. But in going to that trust me, stress. In going to that prosecutor mill, you know, they pressured me to do an internship at the DA's office one summer. And it went the way you would think a person like me in the DA's office. it was terrible. But I remember the one thing I appreciate is I confirmed that all of the horrible things that I think academically, you think like, oh, you have to parse out racism. You more so think it's like, oh, if I statistically look at the numbers, you'll realize it's racist. Nah, it's up front right, there. Yeah. They're actively like trying to force and muscle people to sign support in their positions and, because people don't know how it actually works and the maneuvers and what, you know, what happens from on the legal end. So they'll be like, you'll bring in people and they're like, oh, I don't want to press charges. I don't want a criminal case. Or I want them to have, you know, therapy. I want them to get this. And they'll be like, oh, well, you need to support. If you sign a supporting deposition, I could get them counseling or whatever. But they really mean is sign this. And now I have the document I need to proceed on this criminal case with this person. And in the case of, there's a certain amount of days where if that's not signed or they don't have that paperwork, if you have somebody in on bail, they have to come out. You have to get them out. So what they do is they force, muscle these people, sign it now, you know, and then now this person is stuck in jail. So now they're forced to take a plea or want to, you know, negotiate with you a plea because they're literally going to sit in prison. On a case they were in, you were never going to be able to prosecute. They were never going to be able to get convicted of or whatever. But now they're in this position. Yeah. And that's the unfortunate reality. Like people in Rikers, people, they hear about places like Rikers, but they don't realize Rikers is a pretrial detention center. If you hear about something that's this infamously awful place, you think it's for infamously awful people. You don't realize it's anybody that gets arrested in New York City for anything. Traffic infraction, jumping the turnstile, whatever. You don't have money, that's where you're at. And Rikers isn't even the worst of its kind. You have Cook County in Chicago where the average person is waiting for their trial in prison 4 to 6 years, 8 years. Some people in there 11 years doing full bids on things they have not even had a trial on. It's absurd, but that's how they stack it.
Right. And and I think because of that, like sort of gap between what the lived experiences of the people who are actually grappling with the system and then like the writers' rooms that are then like, I don't know, like I'm rich and like we got off because we got a rich, like a good lawyer.
Yeah.
I think that probably feeds into this problem as well. Right.
My dad got me a good lawyer when I was arrested in college for pissing in the street.
Oh, right. And that's another trope you see a lot because I think you're seeing these writers reflect back what even their own experience was like. I fucking ran over a homeless guy, but I got a good
How many times you watch a white show and a character like gets arrested and they're out like the next scene and you never hear about it for the rest of the show? Right. Like, you know what I mean? No charge, no case, no da-da-da-da-da. That's how it's treated because that is often very much sort of reality. Like even on the rare occasion, I've represented over 1,000 people. I probably have not represented 30 white people. Like there were that many. Right. Wouldn't even be. I remember all my white clients by name because they're few and far in between and they're always fucking outraged that they're in this. Listen, no one more outraged to you than a white person that's been arrested. They will call you every, I used to have a white client call me every day and go, so people can just lie on me? And I can go to every day. She couldn't believe it. Could not wrap her head around it. And that's often what the experience is because even when I'd have them, they'd dismiss it at arraignment. They'd dismiss it right then. They would offer them. I once had a white guy was on a motorcycle, did a high-speed chase. He high-speed chase on his motorcycle to police. I mean, he was really on 10. Gets into an accident, jumps off the bike, keeps fucking running, jumps the fence. They eventually get to him. They dismiss it at arraignment. They would never have done that shit. Like one time I represented like back to back. So same arraignment shift, literally. I have the files, did this one, immediately did it. Same judge, same prosecutor. Represented a black guy who was accused of having one blunt. They asked for like $3,500 bail on him. right? Hmm. Right? Immediately. Right after, represent a white guy who was found with a bunch of drugs. The dealer, white dealer, consent to release. Like, they'll do...
Jesus Christ.
And what's the grounds? Or one time I represented a white girl who was accused of some wild shit. Like, some wild shit. And I remember looking, I could see the prosecutor next to me, and you could see their files, right? Like, across, I could see the pictures of the victim in the case, in who was an Arab guy. I could see the pictures of the victim in the hospital. So when I seen that this is at bail, I'm like, oh, fuck. She going to jail. Like, they about to show those pictures. Like, they about to, you know what I mean? There was a white prosecutor. She just closed the file and consented to release. She just didn't say shit about the picture. And I'm not going to say, like, that's my client. But I'm like,
right.
I remember that day being like,
wow.
An application, yeah. Like, oh, this is a different fucking system. This is not something I have to academically parse out. This is happening real life. Like, I'm looking at them like, hey, yo, y'all know that I saw y'all just not do this for the black people. Like, I'm here. Right. I'm witnessing it. And it's like, or they'll call you. Yeah, they'll literally call you when it's your white clients. The way they talk about it, the prosecutor, is entirely different. They'll like, that same case with the white girl with the Arab victim, the prosecutor was like, this had been when they called me because they wanted to prosecute the Arab guy that was in the hospital based on what she's saying. They know to some degree that she fucked him up. He's in the hospital. She's just saying that he did something to her too. And now they call me like, oh, they want to charge him for a felony because they can't talk to my client, you know, without my permission. And the prosecutor said to me, well, like, oh, well, you know, she's accused of whatever to him. But, you know, apparently, you know, he lied. I've never had, that's my story. My story is always my client didn't do it. I've never had the prosecutor credit my story to my client is innocent. Only when I have a white client and they're like, yeah, must be some misunderstanding.
A believer.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
White supremacy.
Yeah.
So, like, with the copaganda, like, I know we see, like, we're talking about, there's, like, all these terrible tropes, like, cop equals good, you know, get your good lawyer and things like that. Trisha, what are, like, other, because I think those are, like, the most broad versions of things we see, but there's so many other ways that I think this, quote unquote, criminal justice system is represented, which I think is a total misnomer, but what are the other ways that, like, those things are being used?
Right. So, of course, there's that overarching idea that, like, when you have this protagonist who's a cop, who you're, like, really emotionally attached to and kind of manipulated into supporting in these movies and TV shows, if they do bad things, like, you still don't consider them bad. So that really affects just the public perception of police violence.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then looking a bit deeper into it, so there's this study called Normalizing Injustice that was conducted by a nonprofit called Color of Change. And so they just dive deeper. They do this great numerical study and look at several different shows. And so one thing that I read about was just like disciplining cops who are violent or who do really step out of line and harm the people that they're interacting with. So in this study, they found that only 3.7% of on-screen wrongful actions faced any investigation. So that totally normalizes cops stepping out of line, hurting people, and then never being punished for it, and actually usually being supported for it.
Right.
And I think this feeds a lot into cases like Breonna Taylor's, where the cops, it's like, should they be, like, are they going to be punished? I mean, it takes the system so long to, like, condemn someone for murdering
And it usually doesn't. And also, we need to remember that even when there is, right, like, when people get their civil settlements, the cops aren't punished. We pay for that. The cops can't be. We're paying for that. Yeah, so we're paying for that. Nothing is happening at all. Yeah, and the average cop...
All the funding.
Yes, all the funding.
Yeah, they don't. And a lot of cops just get away scot-free. Like, there's just nothing done to them. Another thing that I looked into is sexual violence. So shows like SVU, they portray these really great detectives working on behalf of survivors of sexual violence. But in reality, like...
Cops perpetrate a lot of sexual violence.
Exactly. Cops perpetrate the sexual violence. And then when people who experience it come to the cops, because that's what we're constantly told to do, again, like, since we're little, we see all these things that, oh, we'll call 911 and the cops will save us, when that's just so far from the truth. When we do report sexual violence, well, first of all, people are just scared because they know how fucked up the system is. But then when you do file a report, the police rarely do anything. And most people who have already survived this very traumatic experience are just dissatisfied with the response.
Yeah.
And then finally, so in terms of just reforming the criminal justice system, there is basically no discussion of that in TV and in show, movies. Right.
No.
Right. Yeah.
No.
And if it is, it's like a rabble rouser hippie.
And that's the thing, right? They fight against any, like, they completely dismiss any discussion of, you want to talk about abolition, right, of the criminal system. Right. They completely dismiss that as though that's so radical. We should be talking reform. And anything, the slightest thing you suggest reform, the media then commits all of its energy to attacking that 24/7. You try to do bail reform, you try to do things, and then suddenly they create entire, you know, propaganda and waves and discussions and stuff around fighting that. So what it really is they don't want any change at all. They like the system as it is. And I think that's an important part, is that whenever they're trying to say, you know, the bad apple discussion, I'm like, well, the police disagree with you, right? In a different world, if I have an organization and one person in my organization was a fuck up, right? And I believe that person, what they're doing does not represent this organization. I'm not going to fight you unless you get rid of that person, or, you know, these people are bad. But it's the police department, it's the police unions that say, no, it was okay that they killed him. When did the police unions, when did the police departments, when did the politicians get out and tell you, yeah, that's a bad apple. Yeah, that's bad. They never. They stand with that officer to the very end.
Yeah.
And then they do everything that they can around beating the rest of the community into submission, right? Let's say it was a bad apple. So every time we have a bad apple, let's think about the numbers on that. Every year in America, this is just shot and killed. This is just who police are recording as they shot and killed. So that's not all your George Floyds. That's not your Elijah McClain's. That's not your Eric Garner's. That's not your Alton Sterling's. That's none of the people that are being killed in another way. And that's none of the police brutality that does not rise to death. So exclude all of that, all your Jacob Blakes. The average police shoot and kill over 1,045 people every year in America. So let's say we got all of those bad apples, and what, maybe 5 of them, 12 of them for the year, maybe best case, get some kind of like large media attention. And then what's the response? They immediately send out militarized police to go beat the protesters, go arrest the protesters, curfews, and you get a bunch of charges, you get a bunch of videos showing police brutality on video. Even remember when they knocked that old white man down, that old man split his head open? No charges there. None of them. We just saw, yesterday or the day before, NYPD punch and beat up a 19-year-old girl, and Eric Adams came up and said, oh, the officers show great restraint. Or a few months ago, NYPD shot an 18-year-old in the head because he ran through a red light. And Eric Adams defended that too. So you see what I'm saying? Even if wanted to go with the bad apple narrative, let's pretend, okay, so we got thousands of bad apples, and our police departments, the police unions, our media, our politicians, and everybody in power says, no, they're not bad. So then what then?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. You've lost the messaging war at that point.
Yeah.
Right. And then to think about, like, how can we use media to change that? Like, how can we change that in movies and TV? And, as we talked about, it's just, like, so racialized. Currently, out of the 27 shows that the study covered, 81% of the showrunners were white men. Right. Out of 275 writers, more than 75% were white, and only 9% were Black. So the people who are creating these shows largely don't have any experience with the system that we're dealing with in this country. And so in terms of just what we can do to change it, I mean, one option is just the personal option to not watch shows that depict cops as heroes, as good people, as people who are not violent and coercive. And this could also be, you know, a signal to networks that we don't want to watch cops who are portrayed like this. Another idea is to cancel TV shows with cops in general. And this has actually been happening. Like, the series Cops, which ran for around 30 years, was canceled, I believe, in 2020. And some other networks have also cut police reality series. But a lot of people are also saying...
It's actually back, though.
Yeah.
Is it actually?
came back in September of last year.
Yeah, that's right. Fox News, right? When people aren't paying attention, is there?
When they announced it, yeah, they slowly, like on Fox Nation, like
Fox
on their
Nation.
TV.
Oh, right, right.
It's Live PD, and they just, they changed the name to Live PD to like On Patrol or some other dumb euphemistic, or not even.
Oh my gosh.
That's
See,
the
they
thing.
Fooled us.
Another slick thing they do with propaganda too, and enough people don't call it out, but what they love to do when they portray jails and prisons in any of these shows, they have a lot of white people. They have a lot of white people in the prisons and the jails. So it looks, people think the system is
representative.
No fucking way. Rikers is New York City. Think about how big New York City is.
Right.
Rikers is over 95% black and brown.
Jesus Christ.
Like, it's not this. Like, I saw this actually the other day. I was not watching The Flash anymore because The Flash is terrible now. I was watching a video about why The Flash isn't good anymore. And like, and the season, you know, they got the Flash in jail now, which is some bullshit. And Riverdale did this nonsense too, but the Flash is in jail and he all around the jail with none but white people. Whole jail just full of white people. And
are you in a federal correct facility for people doing white collar crime?
It's slick shit. Or when Inventing, did y'all watch Inventing Anna when that came out on Netflix was it last year or this year? I don't know, the time is on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
with the
yeah, whole, I'm familiar.
That's supposed
with
to be Rikers. Whole nice white, clean environment, just like some white girls chilling or whatever. Yeah, that's what Rikers look like. You think you can even get into, there's a bunch of white what? A bunch of Anna Sorkins at Rikers? No. And like, that is not the case, but they make it look like that because people become so comfortable with it, but it also becomes ingrained. You don't question, it. There's so much to, it's even, to me, the scariest parts are the scariest things when it comes to developing our consciousness, our racial or shared consciousness as a society, isn't what they explicitly tell us, it's what they don't, and we don't pay attention to it. It's like, when you think about the fact that the criminal system, it's a legal system, it's called the criminal justice system, that's intentional. That's inherently intentional because if you, the first thing you learn, you associate justice, your whole concept of justice is criminal prosecution. That's where, you know what I mean? That's what it is. You taught that from the very beginning.
The scales. It's like, no.
Yes. You know, for you, justice is like, people don't even think of any other way to respond or that there are other ways to respond to anything or crime or problems, right? Justice is police arrest you and put the bad guy in jail. That's what justice is to people. And it never even occurs to you to question it. And I realized that in college when my professor, I was, you know, running on like I usually do about the system being racist and yada, yada, yada. And my thesis advisor, who's a white lady, who was just like, you know, you sound like you'd be a person who would be into abolition. And I was like, you mean abolition? Getting rid of the prison altogether? No jail? Like, you know, even as a person who thought the criminal system, I knew the criminal system is racist and is unjust. I was taught like to think of the criminal system, like how you think of water and air and oxygen. You know what I mean? We have a civil society. Like you think you have to, like that is a foundation that must exist. And you have to work from there on how do I correct this thing rather than the thing being bad. Because you're taught that this like man-made institution is just, you know, vital. And that to me is a great issue. But I think as far as how do we stop seeing it? At the end of the day, they do what we like, right? Like media, if you think about it, media, just what we're watching our shows, how things are cast, has changed drastically present day to what it was, shit, just 10 years ago, let alone even as a kid. There's so much things that's changed just because we've changed as a society, how we respond to it. You think all these diverse ensemble casts, they keep getting in stuff is because they want to? You think they diversify in the Gossip Girl and all these shows because they think it's cute? It's because people respond in a particular way. So if you start, you know, calling this out, bitching and da-da-da, yeah, the right will bitch and moan on Twitter and True Social or whatever, they be making their noise. But the reality is people who want to line their pockets, will start making the corrections and the changes because you don't want to watch it like that. So I think we got to call out propaganda, but not just even in the shows that explicitly have cops. It's the way even just the idea of these kind of systems or hierarchies are put in everything else. Like, and that's what really, to me, is the more dangerous, all the things that you're watching and you don't realize that it's like this. It's enforcing the exact same kind of dynamic and like power relations, even without the explicit police.
Right. Seeps in.
Exactly.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.